Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to Tuesday, and a lot is happening, especially at Alabama. Good afternoon. Thanks for being a part of the program, and the news we have been expecting finally happened today with Bill O'Brien leaving to go back to New England, where it all began. So what does that mean? It means Nick Saban will have another offensive coordinator. Lane Kiffin has been around for a while. Remember Daboll? And then Loxley came in. Sark dropped by. O'Brien handled the duties for 2 years. O'Brien did not win a national championship. Or did he? No, I don't think he did. Pete Golding, he's gone too. So Nick Saban, would you really think that he's starting over again? Probably not. But he is starting in an important point in his career to bring in two coordinators. And with that, the voice of reason of all mankind joining us to start the show, Connor O'Gara. Connor, thank you. It's good to see you again. Seems like I just saw you a couple of days ago somewhere. Let's talk about O'Brien and what this means, his departure means to Nick Saban and Alabama.
It's significant in that Alabama having to get a couple of new coordinators is something that ideally you don't like to do, and you don't like to do it at the end of January. But this feels like something that was expected for a while. And we've been talking about Bill O'Brien to the Patriots for, you know, weeks, and it felt like once this was official, this was going to be the opening that he was going to fill. And so now Alabama's kind of looking around going, all right, well, you know, do you feel like Bill O'Brien was a letdown? Do you feel like you need to get somebody that's better than him? Alabama fans obviously had no problem whatsoever with Bill O'Brien leaving. They had no problem whatsoever with Pete Golding leaving. So Alabama fans are under the impression that it's an automatic upgrade. That's easier said than done, but this does feel like something that has been in the works for a bit. And I'd be surprised if Nick Saban didn't have a plan ready to go.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. So, you know, Pete Golding leaves. He was not fired, even though everyone that calls in the show wanted him fired. He gets a job at Ole Miss, and O'Brien goes to one of the most prestigious NFL programs of all time, working for Bill Belichick, and people are celebrating. Only at Alabama could that be the case. So before you, before we move on to some other subjects, Connor, what are the likely scenarios in terms of replacements? What are you hearing?
If I'm Nick Saban, I'm making Dan Mullen say no. I am. I'm calling him up and I'm saying, hey, you need to be running this offense. And I think for those who have followed college football for a while, there's always been this fascination of what would Dan Mullen look like with elite talent. And Florida fans are frustrated that they didn't get to see Dan Mullen with elite talent because he didn't recruit to the level of Alabama or Georgia. But this would be an opportunity for Dan Mullen to step in and do what he does best, which is scheme. Everybody that I've talked to said that Dan Mullen wants to be a head coach again at some point. And he can kind of be picky because when you get $12 million in buyout money from Florida, you don't necessarily have to jump at the next available opportunity. But if I'm Nick Saban, I'm calling up Dan Mullen. I'm saying, run our offense. You know, we'll figure out recruiting. Nick Saban always figures out recruiting. That's never an issue. I would be calling him. And if he doesn't answer the phone, then I would call up Cliff Kingsbury, see if he would be willing to answer the phone from Thailand. I don't know how many people, you know, that he'd be willing to pick up the phone for if he's out there like riding an elephant in Thailand. Maybe Nick Saban, the Pope and God. But other than that, I think Cliff Kingsbury is pretty much under the impression that he's going to spend a year away from football. But those would be the two calls that I would make if I were Nick Saban.
And before we change the page, what about the defensive side of the ball? That's a critical moment for Nick Saban, considering his defense has just been average by Alabama's recent standards.
Yeah, in the 10 years before Pete Golding arrived, Alabama never had a defense worse than seventh in the country in scoring. And then in the last 5 years that he's been there, you know, they didn't have a defense that cracked the top seven. So that's the knock against Pete Golding. Is he as bad as a lot of Alabama fans made him out to be? No, but that's just kind of, you know, that's par for the course. I think that the replacement, the list of candidates is significant with Charlie Strong, Jeremy Pruitt, obviously. Glenn Schumann's been somebody that Alabama fans have talked about. But if I'm Saban, I'm calling up Jim Leonard. I think Jim Leonard, who has been the Wisconsin defensive coordinator for the last few years, I think he is a guy that when you talk about maximizing, you know, relatively limited talent and Dan Mullen's ability to do that, Jim Leonard's been doing that for a long time at Wisconsin. I think he would be great working with all those five stars at Alabama. I don't know schematically if that would be a direct fit with what Nick Saban would want to do, but to me, that would be my top candidate.
We are talking to Connor O'Gara and the whole – and Nick Saban, I have it on good authority, just flipped on his office TV to see what you're saying so he can immediately follow your advice. Connor, let's talk about a couple of other subjects. And I know you've been delving deep into your board. What else are you intrigued by right now as so many people have crowned Georgia the king of all time, the king of the next 20 years, and Nick Saban has been? What have you been watching for?
I think the quarterback battles that we're seeing, we'll talk about quarterback battles throughout the offseason. We've got 8 months to be able to do that. Some of the early developments I think are pretty significant. What we've seen play out at Ole Miss, and I realize that nothing is official just yet, but reportedly, and I think it was Chris Lowe had it first, that Spencer Sanders is going to be going to Ole Miss, and seeing that the way that this has played out with Walker Howard and potentially Jackson Dart, all three of those guys competing in a spring quarterback battle is fascinating to me. You know, Devin Leary going to Kentucky, somebody who was the preseason ACC player of the year, Kentucky being able to replace Will Levis with somebody like him, bringing back my doppelganger, Liam Cohen. I think that's really significant. And then, oh, by the way, Bobby Petrino back in the SEC. I'm still waiting on the reality show for Jimbo Fisher, Bobby Petrino. Just, it doesn't have to be like Newlyweds, what Nick Lachey, Jessica Simpson had back in the day, but something comparable to that. I think we deserve that. You know, just maybe, you know, figure out some sort of way to make sure that we get an all-access look at those guys and the dynamics at play, because that's going to be fascinating watching this dynamic play out at A&M. But those are kind of the three things that I've been pretty mindful of.
And on the Bob Petrino, Jimbo Fisher thing, I mean, I think we all had fun with it the first couple of days, but Connor, I know you would agree that it does make more sense now. So does that change the direction dramatically for Jimbo Fisher, who by depending on where you go for your sports news, is facing a pretty important year out in College Station?
You know, I don't necessarily think that it's going to make or break him getting fired, because I don't think he's getting fired. I think he's still owed, what, $76 million after next year? He's not getting fired. It's determining whether or not he's one of the better coaches in this sport. And this past year suggests that Jimbo Fisher isn't on that level anymore, because if you are, you don't have a 5-7 season with that talent. But this dynamic is really interesting, because how much can Jimbo Fisher give up control? How much can he be willing to put in the hands of Bobby Petrino to truly run that offense? Because let's be honest, I mean, that's long overdue. Everybody's been talking about that the last 2 years, and you can't just say it was because of this injury or that injury. They had four different quarterbacks who couldn't execute Jimbo Fisher's offense. It was time to make a change, and that was ultimately going to be what determines whether or not we think of him as one of the better coaches of the 21st century, because he has lost his grip on that, and hiring somebody like Bobby Petrino, who obviously comes with a little bit of baggage. I think that everybody knows what they're getting from a schematic standpoint, but it's just about how does he manage this talent? How does he manage that quarterback situation? Is Connor Wigman going to be able to shine with Bobby Petrino at the controls? And can Jimbo Fisher truly be willing to take on a CEO role?
Connor, we've had a couple of people who have been with us just in the past week who are already on the LSU train. And listen, it's a good train to be on, but they're saying, or at least these two different people said, they think LSU is now the team to beat in the SEC West. Back to the Saban situation for a second, but are you buying that developing philosophy?
I wouldn't say that they're definitely the team to beat, because look, as encouraging as it was to see what Brian Kelly did year one, look, I had this team going 7-5, All right, they exceeded my expectations. There's no doubt about it. I mean, to be able to get double digit wins, to beat Alabama, to win a West title year one, like all these things have been said on your airwaves already. Brian Kelly did an unbelievable job for a team that had what 39 scholarship players in the bowl game, and what he has done in the transfer portal and on the recruiting trail to rebuild that roster is unbelievable. But I still think that if you're saying LSU is definitively the team in the West, I'd push back on that a little bit. If I'm picking today, Alabama would still be my pick to be able to win that division. And for everybody saying, oh, what about the quarterback situation? They don't even have coordinators right now. Their two best players are off to the NFL. I get all of that. Still Nick Saban. It's still Nick Saban. And we could say the dynasty is dead and Alabama is not necessarily going to be able to compete at the level that they did in the 2010s. They still just signed the number one recruiting class. And you know they're still going to be active in the transfer portal. They're going to get probably two world-class hires, you know, for their two top assistant jobs. So I still look at Alabama and I like the returning talent that they have. And I still think that they're going to be in position where, in my opinion, they're still going to be competing for a playoff spot at season's end.
With Connor O'Gara, it came out earlier today, not that long ago, that Josh Heupel is being rewarded for his unbelievable first two seasons, nearly getting Tennessee to a bowl game. Heupel was now making almost $9 million a year. Connor, what about Tennessee in the upcoming season?
They're paying him some Paul Feinbaum money. That's what they're doing. It's unbelievable to see what Josh Heupel has become, because, you know, as we talk about Bama coordinators and how, you know, a lot of Bama fans aren't necessarily wishing that they would stay. You know, there was a little bit of this belief in my neck of the woods here in Orlando just a couple years ago with Josh Heupel when he left UCF to go to Tennessee. They're kind of like, no big deal. We'll be able to replace him. He'll be just fine. Josh Heupel has five consecutive top eight offenses. This guy knows what he's doing. And I understand that he kind of relinquished play calling duties and he's more in the CEO role, kind of what Lane Kiffin does at Ole Miss. But to me, Josh Heupel has exceeded my wildest expectations. I didn't think they'd be that good in year two. Even though I said that I thought they were going to beat Georgia, I still thought this was going to be more of a 9-3 team, take that nice step moving forward, and then we'll kind of see how it plays out after that. But to me, for them to already be at this level where they're winning a New Year's Six Bowl in year two, yeah, Josh Heupel earned that money. It was inevitable that he was going to get that extension. I think if you're a Tennessee fan, this is as good as you felt about the direction of your program in a couple of decades. And I think that right now, rewarding Josh Heupel made a lot of sense, and it was a pretty inevitable move for the season that they just had.
Connor, before you go, so many schools to choose from, and doesn't mean that they're terrible. It doesn't mean anything other than the following. Which SEC school are you most worried about in the upcoming season?
It's a good question. It's a really good question, because right now I would look at this A&M situation and I'm still going to be worried until we actually see it. How can you not be worried about A&M when you're on the hook for $76 million for a head coach who just had a 5-7 season in year five? I mean, to me, that is the biggest question mark, and it's all about talent acquisition, and Jimbo Fisher has done a really good job at that. And I don't think that can be taken away from him, despite, you know, all of the hubbub about the way that he acquired said talent. To me, you got that talent in the door, and yes, some of them left via the transfer portal, but if they aren't able to improve this year, how would you sell yourself any sort of hope if you're an A&M fan at this point? It's been rough, man. Like, there's no world in which I thought that team would be as bad as they were last year. And you could point to this injury, that injury, but they have basically their entire offensive line coming back. You would feel good about their quarterback situation with Connor Wigman. And you would think, okay, we have the right defensive coordinator in place. We're going to have a little bit of a shot in the arm with this, you know, this Bobby Petrino offense. But if they can't get over any sort of, like, you know, 7-5 hurdle, I just don't get what you can really sell yourself on if you're an A&M fan at this point, considering how bad it's been for the last couple of years.
Good answer. Connor, thank you very much. Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South joining us to start the program off. We have a long way to go. We're just getting started here on a Tuesday. Love to hear from you at 855-242-7285. The calls begin next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
SI.com saying Kentucky will have the opportunity to hand Kansas worst ever losing streak under Bill Self. They have lost, what, two in a row? Could be three in a row Saturday night. What's up with Kansas? How about this for some great entertainment? Starts off with Auburn having to go to West Virginia. Bama travels to Oklahoma. You have Iowa State at Mizzou. Texas Tech LSU. TCU Mississippi State. Arkansas at Baylor. How about that game? Texas and Tennessee, one of the featured games of the day. Florida at K-State. Kansas at Kentucky. Ole Miss in Oklahoma State. That is a day to just sit by the TV and watch some of the best hoops you'll ever see. Chris Lowe saying Josh Heupel going to $9 million a year now ranks in the upper tier. Only Saban, Kirby, Jimbo, and Brian Kelly make more. Heupel was hired at $4 million and bumped to $5 last year, so he has more than doubled his salary in 2 years. How would you like to do that? We can ask some of our guests later on. Mike Rodak from AL.com on the Alabama beat, and Seth Greenberg doesn't really have a beat. Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Drew is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question about Tennessee basketball. Seems like we're on a good pace this year, like the last few years. But, you know, we get into March and we fall apart. And I'm curious, is that coaching or something else? What do you think?
Well, I think March is all about luck and coaching. So, yeah, I mean, I know what some of the Tennessee fans are saying about Rick Barnes. He had a number one seed a couple of years ago and got knocked out in the Sweet 16. He's had other teams that should have gone deeper. It has become an issue, fair, but I still believe he is an excellent basketball coach and he's got one of the best teams in the country. So March will be the ultimate decider, though. Thank you for the call. And Little M is in North Carolina. Hello, Little M.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So, I'm a college football fan, and I just don't know who to pull for.
Well, you live where in North Carolina?
I live in Shelby.
So, you're near, Clemson, NC State, Wake Forest, North Carolina. Do you have a favorite out of any of those?
Mostly Clemson.
Okay. What about South Carolina?
No, not really.
Ooh. So you're a Clemson fan. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Well, I I think then Clemson should be your team. They're a good program. They've won a couple of national championships. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. I wouldn't say that was the most enthusiastic Clemson fan. Started to turn into an Alabama fan, but I think that would be fair. Peanut is in Augusta, Georgia. Hello, Peanut.
Hey, Paul. ACC versus SEC. I got news for you, brother. Guess what? We are the people. Look out, ACC. We coming to get you. Believe me.
Okay. Come. I don't even know what sport we're talking about, but let's check out Cruz in Georgia next. Hello, Cruz. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Yesterday, you spoke some Spanish. You said you took 4 years, right?
Si.
So let me go ahead and say, hola, amigo. Hey, also yesterday, Jim called, and there's been a couple callers also trying to fire up, get Kirby fired, rather, and try to put some of the blame of the tragic news on to Kirby himself. I don't quite understand that. You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you got to let the investigation play out and not put it all on Kirby or really anyone in that organization. Because at the end of the day, it was college kids, me and college kids. They were celebrating. And to hear Jim call up and just be angry and bitter about everything as he usually is, I just don't understand it. But it's getting to the point now, anytime Jim calls, I turn off the program because, you know, I used to go to porta potties when I was a kid, and my mom always told me, don't read the writing on the wall. And I feel like every time Jim calls, that's what it feels like I'm doing. It feels like I'm reading the wall of a porta potty or chewing the gum that's on the bottom of a chair.
Cruz, well said. And listen, I mean, he was accusing us, Jim was, of covering up for Kirby Smart. We're not covering up for anyone. We don't even know all the facts yet. And there's a reasonable chance when the facts all come in, it's not going to be a pretty picture. I'd say it's more likely than not that you know, some of the reporting that's out there is going to lead to what ultimately happened. But we haven't gotten there yet, and that's all we were saying yesterday. The truth is going to come out here. And, you know, his allegation about us covering up was just quite frankly stupid. I can't come up with a more intelligent phrase because it doesn't really merit one. Thank you for the call. Dustin in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, had a quick story for Reverend Phil, if he's listening, and then I wanted to weigh in very quickly on the Georgia thing. To the story, my grandfather was a minister, and my grandmother was a minister's wife and part-time comedian. He was kind of known for, right? He was kind of known for going a little long-winded, you know, and she used to lean kind of out of the choir loft when he would do that as he was pacing by, and she would say, all right, Pharaoh, let's go. And one of the ladies, you know, one of the deacon's wives that sat next to her in the choir loft said, Gene, why do you keep calling Dr. Miller Pharaoh? And she said, well, because he's got God's people captive and he's not letting them go.
That's...
Captain, is this thing on?
I was taking my time in digesting that.
That one plays a lot better at the Southern Baptist Convention, don't you worry. Reverend Phil, he'll understand. The thing with these Georgia guys and or the kids from Georgia, that story that got released from the AJC, you said something yesterday that I thought was really coherent. You talked about how you've done stories like this before and you've pulled stuff back at the last minute because you questioned yourself, is it news? And I think they should have questioned, you know, is this news or at this point, is it gossip? If we find out later that, you know, there was a connection, fine, the public has a right to know, report it. But at this point, knowing that correlation does not equal causation, I thought it was real, well, it was worse than shoddy reporting, but I thought it was a real shot.
And Dustin, let me say this about the editor explaining why we were writing this. That was a defense mechanism. You know that, and anyone can see it. And when, I mean, the world of journalism is under enough criticism, but when you try to explain why you did something, you're essentially saying we're not sure we did it right. So let's, we've seen your negativity, and this is why. And you, if you feel strongly about a story, especially one like this, you print it, and you don't need to defend it. That's only because you're not sure you made the right decision, because there really isn't a clear decision here. Sure, you can always argue that the public has a right to know, but in this case, they will eventually know. But did they need to know right now? Right now, 8 days after the death, did we have to put that bit of information in the story?
I absolutely don't think so. I think it was a bad idea. I'm going to jump off here, feed the rest of my time back, but you're looking good in that pink tie, man. I like it.
Thank you very much, Dustin. You have a good day. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Hayden, who is up next. Hello, Hayden. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Absolutely. It's I know the next season's a little bit far out, but if you had to pick three teams from the SEC West to finish top three in the SEC, who would you pick?
Well, obviously Alabama, LSU, and the third team would be the tough one. Who would you go with your third team?
That's a good question. I thought about A&M, but I don't know. I thought about Ole Miss. I don't know. Maybe Mississippi State or Auburn.
Yeah, you know, State's a really interesting one because there are a lot of good stories out there connected to Zach Arnett. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. More to come, more of your phone calls, more guests. We're back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Steve is up next in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Paul, how you doing, man?
Steve, we're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Let me qualify my statement first. It's not hateful, boasting, moron, idiot, name-calling, scripture-quoting hypocrisy, claiming you're a Bama hater and a dogger, Tennessee lover, or hating your show, vowing never to watch it again. Listen, let's lighten it up a little bit, but a couple of serious notes first. Of course, I'm a dog fan, and people mention these transfers going to somewhere where they think the school is better. Let me tell you, I've got a little inside information. These good coaches meet with these players and their families thinking about transferring, and they give them good advice. They tell them, you know, how many snaps you may get on the average, you know, they're really out for their own good, and it's not a matter of somebody not liking the school. The other thing, the recent arrest of Ra-Ra Thomas, I think, is the more I hear about this, the more I'm thankful I had dorms in college that weren't co-ed. Because you can get into a lot of trouble nowadays with this mess and everything, but I think there's going to be more come out, and hopefully it'll work out. Let's have a little mascot trivia, Paul. You ready?
I am ready.
Can you name the only schools that have live mascots in the SEC?
Well, we have the Dogs.
Yep.
The Tigers.
Well, live mascots on the field.
Oh, on the field. I've seen Mike the Tiger near the field.
I think I'm correct, and it may be four, maybe five.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about, but there are four dogs.
Yeah,
Georgia,
A&M,
Mississippi State, the Collie, and the Blue Tick Hound. Am I saying that right, Tennessee fans from Tennessee?
Smokey.
Okay. I did a little research. Arkansas has a Razorback hog.
Yeah,
but he just
tusk.
Died.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just.
I don't think Tuss might be on the field. I've seen Tuss very close to the field, maybe not directly in a cage though.
Yeah, but you won't see him now because he's dead.
Well, there'll be another one.
I know that. Yeah, so Tuff number five died last week at age four. The Rooster from South Carolina, interesting that they had to change his name because they couldn't come to an agreement on who owned the name rights of that. Auburn has always confused me. I love my Auburn friends, but they've got an eagle as a pregame entry, and then they are Tigers.
Yeah, no, and then they've got a war eagle, and then they're a plainsman.
Yeah, plainsman.
Yeah,
so the guy
that came up with Auburn football must have been schizophrenic or something to come up with that many nicknames.
Yeah, yeah, so LSU has a Bengal Tiger. I'm asking other fans to help me out. I know they more, but know more background than me, but I think I've seen a tiger in a cage at Death Valley before. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you have.
But not recently. Alabama fans, help me out. I've done research on the elephant, and I've done research on Tide and a roller. I'm not really sure which one is right, but I know the story of the crimson from the red clay game in the 1920s. And I know the story of the roll Alabama roll from the Confederate warship being sunk. But I'll just ask the fans. Maybe they got more information. But I did a little research. 1930s game. There were big linemen thundering in like elephants, so they started calling them elephants. Okay. So, Kentucky Wildcat.
But by the way, are you, Steve, are you working on a book on this, or is this just a pet hobby of yours?
Well, I'm looking for an advance first, Paul. If I could get an agent and declare myself a
I can point you in the absolute right direction there. Thanks for the call. Let's continue with Pat in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Like an editor's note, this will be a caller's note for me today. I talked to Jamari yesterday, and he talked me out of what I wanted to talk about yesterday, and we only agree on 2 out of 3 points today. So, and I've given this a lot of thought, Paul, and I'll say I speak from some personal experience. My folks always told me, and I passed this on to our two children, nothing ever good happens after midnight. Now, that's what Jamari and I disagree on. My second point.
By the way, Pat, where were you when I was a teenager?
Well, I hoped your mama may have.
Well, I'm sure she told me that, and I'm sure I disregarded it like everything else she told me.
I know it, and you and I both survived, didn't we?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, back then, you were embarrassed to go out not much before midnight.
I know. My second and third points, and I've given this a lot of thought, and I'm couching my words very carefully. The vehicle was operated at an excessive rate of speed. And all of this is going to come out sooner or later, factually. And the driver of the vehicle, to one extent or another, or in some way, shape, or form, was, in fact, inhibited. And at least two of those three factors result in terrible consequences for a whole lot of people, and they're unintended consequences, and it's just I'm sorry to say that, but that's my take on what went on in Athens at 2 o'clock that Sunday morning. And I'm sorry to have to say that.
Yeah, no, I think you're being very realistic, and I think most of us know what you're talking about. And but I would also argue for the young players that, you know, this is their time, it is tragic that happened. I can't explain it. I wouldn't attempt to. But there's just no explanation for something like this. And I know that that's what a minister would say. That's what any reasonable person said. If you try to come up with an explanation, if you try to say, well, maybe they shouldn't have been out, it won't work. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll take a short break, and we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. A lot going on this afternoon, and let's get to the calls and check in with Mitch next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Paul. I don't have any sources to use. I don't have any names to call either, so I guess this is going to be a boring phone call. But I want to address two subjects, and I finally have the energy to talk after 6 months. One, I haven't heard you criticize the situation going on in Alabama any more than I've heard you criticize the situation going on in Georgia. So why you were accused of being after one or taking up for a coach on one side when there's something going on the other side, that didn't make sense. And then I heard an Alabama fan call last week and say, when is Georgia fans going to stop bringing up the Alabama fans? Well, Alabama fans, when are you going to stop reminding Georgia that you used to be? Maybe Georgia wouldn't have to do that. Clemson went through that with Alabama. Nobody can win but Alabama. Now, how are you doing it, Paul?
Yeah, Mitch, listen, I listen to allegations like that, and I just chuckle all the allegations that I've heard and you've heard about me in relation to protecting Alabama. First of all, we're not protecting anyone here. We're not doing anything other than disseminating information.
No, I think that you have been fair down the middle about everything. And for someone to accuse you of being one side or the other is kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, the person who said that yesterday is essentially saying, I want you to be biased, but I want you to be biased in favor of my team.
Which team paid you the most?
Well, first of all, we're not talking about who wins a football game here either. We're talking about really serious matters, as you know, Mitch. By the way, the answer is Alabama.
Well, when it's something serious like some of this stuff that's going on, let it play out. The head of the turtle always has to come out.
Unless there's no head.
There's no head.
Well, first of all, most important, Mitch, I am really glad to hear you feeling better. You stay well and talk soon. John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John.
The head of the turtle is coming out.
It's a new song. It's a new song by the Turtles.
And this is why people take Viagra before they call you. Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Anyways, I was going to talk about other teams that are on the hot seat, but first of all, I wanted to compliment you on both yesterday and today how you've handled that sensitive topic from the AGC article. You've done a great job with that.
Thank you.
And I won't get into it. There's no point, but I enjoy listening to William's analysis of it. I used to handle large multimillion-dollar risk management programs, both in construction, transportation, what have you. And I'm always thinking of the legal exposure. And the whole incident is problematic, and it'll come out. But there's no need for the article to come out with that type of detail so early. So I'll leave well enough alone. But there is one part of it that's really bugging me, and fair disclosure, I have several brothers that are attorneys, but yes, last Thursday, there's an attorney named, I'm going by memory, Roy Willie, who held a news conference on the steps of the county courthouse representing the deceased player. And I thought that alone was over the top. But in front of his lectern was the big sign, go, go injury lawyers, or go, you know, something like that. But sure. He had his, right in front of him, he had the name of the company.
He was a plaintiff lawyer. What do you expect?
Yeah, you expect that from personal insurance. Anyways, let's move on. It's nice to know Jess Heupel is making your kind of salary now. I did pick that up in the first guest shot. So it's no secret what you make. But let's talk about teams that will be on the hot seat, teams and their coaches other than the SEC. I've got three to chew on. One, obviously, is the Oklahoma coach, and particularly that bad loss Venable had against, what's it, Texas last
Texas.
Year?
Four yeah. touchdowns.
The second one, and I know you like him, is Cristobal down in Miami with all that money. And the third is kind of an unusual pick I have, and that is Ohio State. Not because they don't have a great coach and a great program, but if you don't win the Big Ten and don't win the game, you're in trouble. So, and I know what Harbaugh said about him. I think he said there's...
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.